Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Thursday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. It's turned into a beautiful day, but if you've been inside, you might be surprised when you step outside. It's a little bit cooler, bit cooler than the last few days, and going to dip into the 40s tonight. Maybe down around 40 degrees.
And some rain too, right?
We got some serious rain
overnight. Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, sometimes I like to fall asleep to, you know, some rain noises.
3 o'clock, it woke me up.
Yeah, I turn
like
my
thunderstorm.
Go, oh, wait a minute. That's not those aren't the soothing sounds I'm normally used to.
Well, and let me tell you, to be honest, I mean,
more
it was
organic.
It was the sound of thunder and my dog Dusty not being thrilled with the sound of thunder. Yeah, so that got us up a little early, but yeah, I hope everybody's doing well on this Thursday. Thus far, Auburn basketball is doing pretty well in the SEC tournament. Round two in another must-win game. The Tigers lead Tennessee by 10, 49-39 as we approach the 11-minute mark in regulation.
It's probably not the position that you'd like to be in if you're given a choice the week of Selection Sunday that you're playing conference tournament games. And really, you're one of the only teams in college basketball that can really say, yeah, we're playing conference tournament games that will decide whether or not we make the tournament as an at-large. There are a lot of mid-majors out there that are playing conference tournament games where it's like, you need to win the whole tournament. But Auburn has played yesterday and today. They've played two games where it certainly feels like, yeah, if you win them both, you give yourself an excellent shot to make the NCAA tournament. And if you lost yesterday, your chances would be pretty much over. And if you lost yesterday and won today, or if you won yesterday and lost today, you're holding your breath on Selection Sunday.
Right.
I know there's talk that Auburn can lose this game and still sneak into.
I wouldn't want to chance it.
The tournament. I will say that I do wonder if the lesson, if Auburn doesn't make the tournament, and yes, February is going to play an enormous role, and how they played in conference and how they finished conference play is going to be probably the largest thing keeping them out. But I wonder if one of the lessons too would be, well, if those losses away from home to Houston and Arizona and Purdue and Michigan, if Auburn had scheduled quad three home games and won them, right? And you turn those four. I don't think it would indicate Auburn's a better team.
No,
but
no.
It feels like
it would look better.
Yeah, it feels like people who are complaining about Auburn being on the bubble would be happier.
Yeah, right. If they're an SEC team that had already won 20 games, sure, they would.
And so I wonder if the lesson is going to be like, oh, well, if you're going to hold Auburn's overall win-loss record against them, the lesson for a lot of SEC teams is don't schedule hard in the non-conference. You know, load up on empty calories, on easily defeatable smaller schools that you can bring from home. And I hope that's not the lesson, right? Because those games that Auburn played in the non-conference, which they played, I think, thinking it would win or lose, it would help your NCAA tournament profile.
Boy, if it didn't help you, I mean, if it hurt you as opposed to beating, you know, some cupcakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, then there's no sense in anybody playing that kind of schedule.
Then why not schedule? And I mean, and nothing against these teams, but like at that point, schedule the smaller in-state schools. Like play North Alabama and play Jacksonville State. And play Samford, right? Bring those schools to Auburn and win games and keep the money in house and seemingly improve your chances of making the tournament. Now I guess that's a digression for right now because Auburn is they won yesterday and they're playing well enough through 30 minutes to defeat Tennessee today. What a defensive performance.
I was going to say, that's it too, Dan. It's defense. The defense yesterday in the second half and thus far for the first 30 minutes of this ball game against Tennessee has been as good as Auburn has played defensively, I'd say, since the Florida game.
And Tahad Pettiford.
Tahad has been outstanding.
He can
today.
Sometimes, especially in tournament games, in bright lights,
in big games,
he can put on, you know, a five alarm fire. And Tahad was hitting some just fantastic shots. You saw the Pettiford pirouette, right? You've seen some one handed offhanded finishes. You've seen some threes. Like this has been it's been a really impressive performance for Auburn, and you've seen the urgency that Stephen Pearl was talking about, the fact that this is a must-win game for Auburn. It's not necessarily a must-win game for Tennessee. We were talking yesterday about how they're locked in to their tournament position in most scenarios. Auburn is not. And so, yeah, you've seen this play out a little bit, like this game means a little bit more to Auburn in certain key stretches.
Now, I'll say this, the second half looks like they're calling it a little bit differently than they did the first half, the officials, that is. And Auburn is picking up some fouls. Auburn's getting a little bit of foul trouble. Filip Jovic has four fouls. Kevin Overton and Elijah Freeman have three. So, I mean, it has been a physical ball game. But it appears that, Tennessee is not backing away, and there's a lot of contact. As we play, it's a 5-point lead. That lead has been cut from 10 to 5 since we came on. It's now 51-46, and it looks like a foul.
Nope.
Is it a time?
Shot clock.
Shot clock violation.
Shot clock violation.
Stephen Pearl's wondering why there wasn't a foul. I've listened to Andy for a little while on the way in and been watching for the last about 4 minutes. Tennessee has ratcheted up the physicality, and they are grabbing their hacking and thus far the last two or three minutes there haven't been any calls.
That specific situation, it was kind of a desperation heave at the end of the shot clock, though.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough to draw a foul, and I think he got the ball on the way up, so it's going
right.
to be even tougher.
I didn't see the shot clock, that came after the shot attempt, and Tennessee has cut it to two.
Ooh, corner three.
Yeah. So Tennessee on a 7-0 run now.
That's 20 points for the freshman.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
It was said in the pregame that they hoped he'd be able to play 10 minutes in the game. He played 16 minutes in the first half.
And that's a 10-2 run since we started the show,
yes.
Basically. So maybe we need to go to commercial or something because Kevin Overton
it's
is
not going well right now for the Tigers in Tennessee with a chance to tie or take the lead.
This is a flurry, and you can imagine right now the Tennessee fans, in that place.
51-49 as we hit the 8-minute mark. We're just underway here on the Thursday drive. Bill and Dan in the studio.
It's going to be a different Thursday because I don't think we're going to have Ferguson.
No, I can't imagine. He's there at the game.
What about Pascal?
I don't know if Pascal.
Going to try him?
I think we'll try him because I don't think he was going to be there. If that's not a foul, I don't know what is, and it's not a foul. I'm telling you, this Tennessee is. Getting away with some calls if they're going to let them. They're letting them play on both ends.
It seemed like that was a foul too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it did. It really did.
Right.
Both. I mean, it has become very physical, and Tennessee has tied this ball game at the under 8 timeout, 7:31 to play in regulation, and it is at all even at 51.
Yeah, so you've seen some stretches in the second half where this game's gotten extremely physical with no whistles.
Yes.
And then there were also, it seemed like earlier in the half, It got tighter.
First half, they called it much tighter. Second half, they've let it become much more physical, it's been to Tennessee's advantage. There's no question about that.
And now Tennessee surging, and they've tied a game that Auburn was leading by
11.
Yeah.
Auburn led it by as many as 11. All right. We're just underway here on the Thursday drive. We'll check in with David Pascal, see if we can get him in hour number two. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That's the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar.
Do you think Auburn's in the NCAA tournament with a loss today?
No. No, I do not. Did you see Lenardi's projection before the game? Mm-hmm. After Miami of Ohio's loss, he has Auburn in the first four out.
And Miami of Ohio in the play-in game,
yes.
I imagine. I know that's going to be.
That's something there. Yeah. That's another spot now that has been taken. The MAC winner is going to take a spot that was already being, penciled in for Miami.
How do you feel about the idea of a mid-major who loses their first game of the season in the conference tournament? 30-something
I think,
and one.
I think they ought to be in.
How do you? But in general, how do you feel about a team like that being left out of the NCAA tournament?
I'd feel like that's a shame that okay. they were left out. So, I mean, you go 31-0, you win your, you go whatever, however, 16 or 18-0 in your conference. Yeah, I think you should.
Because people are raising red flags about like the computer numbers, the net rankings.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, they didn't play anybody, but they beat them all.
Yes.
I mean,
so I don't know. So I think the play-in game feels like a fair spot
for
Miami of Ohio, and I wouldn't be all that sure. Shocked, tell you what, a win today and a loss tomorrow, maybe even a loss today. I mean, you know how much the NCAA likes to stir things up. It wouldn't shock me at all if Miami of Ohio's
playing each other.
Dance partner in Dayton, yeah. Ohio was the Auburn Tigers, in fact.
Yeah, Auburn would take that right now. Take it right now. It's tied with 7.5 minutes to go. I'd take it and go to the house right now.
Yeah. Oh, sure. And get ready, you know, try and make – and you heard Caldwell yesterday, and I think he's absolutely right. If you're not one of the top 16 teams on the board, maybe even stretch it to the 5 seeds. If you're not one of the top 20 teams in the NCAA tournament, your best path to the Sweet 16, to the second weekend, is probably on that 10-11 line.
Yeah,
and probably the 11 line. Mm-hmm. Because the 11 line, you have to beat a 6 and a 3.
Right.
If chalk holds, you don't have to beat one of the top 8 teams in the tournament, which you have to do as a 9, a 10.
Not to get to the second weekend.
We've seen a couple of teams use that 11 seed play-in game and springboard it into a deep run in the NCAA tournament. And feels like since the loss to Ole Miss, Auburn's been on that line of teams that you could maybe see if they get in, Dayton, that first four is in play, and with a tie game down the stretch against Tennessee, I think Auburn could play with a win today and a loss tomorrow, they might not even be in Dayton.
They might
leap because the way the bubbles played out. Yep. They might be
a win today. I think would just get them in.
You could be one of the 11 seeds that isn't playing in the first four. You could even maybe be on the 10 line potentially in the NCAA tournament. We'll see. I know folks are talking now. There's questions being raised about Texas's candidacy, especially after the loss yesterday,
after the loss to Ole Miss,
and even I know a lot of folks have Missouri in Dayton. I know that's another school that folks are saying, especially after the loss.
After the loss to Kentucky?
After the loss today, I know some folks are saying Missouri's a team that might be holding their breath.
There are an awful lot of SEC teams that are in that talk of, last four in, first four out. I mean, because Oklahoma's in the conversation, too.
If Auburn gets in and Missouri's the first team out, there will be some grumbling from the folks in Como, especially because they won the head-to-head game against Auburn and have a better win-loss record. But that's not... It's not just what it's about. They're not just evaluating those two things. But first things first, Auburn needs to stop a 10-0 run and find a way to retake the lead.
Something they need Keyshawn Hall to be able to make a shot. Keyshawn is 2 for 10. He has 5 points. I mean, Auburn won yesterday without Keyshawn Hall really doing much until the very end. They have been winning today. And, they're not going to win because of his defense. He's had some really open looks. That time he just missed a layup. Tennessee's got a chance to take the lead. It's very important. I mean, this is a game. It hasn't been the prettiest game. It's been a slugfest. Neither team shooting it very well. Ugh. And that was a brick by Tennessee. Elijah Freeman, the officials have lost their whistles.
Yeah.
Let me just say that. I mean, they're both they called one that time. See, that's what that's terrible radio, and I apologize for that. On one end, there was serious contact on Elijah Freeman and no call.
This is a little bit like a Manning cast, right? Like we're reacting. We're the other announced team here, talking a little bit about this Auburn-Tennessee game that we're watching live.
I hate to complain about officiating, but
you're right.
Completely opposite calls on ends of the court, and that's what I've seen here over the last 4 or 5 minutes.
Since we started the show, I think there have been multiple instances, and to be fair, including a couple where it seemed like Auburn got away with contact,
right?
Where it got very physical, and you thought, okay, well, assuredly that's a whistle on somebody, and nothing happened.
The ball's going the other way,
right? And Freeman's attempted finish just now, I think, was the most recent example, but. Did he miss them both?
No, he hit the first.
Okay, all right.
So Tennessee's got a 1-point lead, 52-51. with 6.5 minutes, just under 6.5 to play.
Auburn still, that's Auburn an 11, just, that's an 11-0 run.
It's now, yeah. And yeah, Tennessee, since, yeah, I mean, I don't know that Auburn scored a bucket since we came on, have they? We let's get to our first break. We've got to change the way things are going here. Maybe I need to move around in the room or something.
Switch seats.
Yeah.
Turn the lights off and on.
Yep. Tennessee's up 3, under 6 as we get to our first break here in hour number 1 of the Thursday Drive. Come on in and join us.
The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. Call free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill and Dan in the studio, and our timeout didn't help. Neither did the one for Auburn, as Tennessee has answered with a couple of free throws, and they are now on a 17-0 run, and they're up 7, 58-51.
Yeah, they have changed the complexion of this game quickly in just a couple of minutes. Auburn was up 10, and you were thinking about, I mean, at the 10-minute mark in the second half, it was remarkable how
Auburn was up 10.
How thoroughly Auburn had outplayed, and Auburn has in fact been scoreless for 6 straight minutes now in this basketball game. Tennessee's on a 17-0 run. It was remarkable how Auburn had outplayed Tennessee for 30 minutes, and Auburn misses a free throw with a chance to break a 17-0 run and a 6-minute scoring drought, and now Auburn fighting for their lives as every possession matters.
Absolutely.
Every possession matters in the rest, the last 4 minutes and change of this game.
Yeah, because as we were saying, a loss here today, and it's very dire, the outlook and the possibility of getting in.
All right, let's get to Ed, who's been hanging on since the commercial break. How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing all right, guys. It's 9 points now. Of course, I know y'all probably saw that dunk, but anyway, when I was young, the old folks would tell you, just kind of kidding or halfway, giving you advice, about women. You don't worry about them when they're mad and they're hollering or this, that, and the other, but you worry about them when they get quiet and when the apathy sets in. And as far as Auburn's basketball is concerned, from most of the people that I know that are, Auburn people, apathy is the best word I could describe. I don't know anybody. I definitely do not think this team deserves a NCAA bid. And there's nothing about this team or what's going on with Auburn basketball that's anything but depressing to me. To say apathy, when you've got national, commentators speaking about how the whole atmosphere in Neville Arena has changed, and you're not selling out games at the end of the year, or not filling the seats up, I guess they might have been sold out.
Yeah, the tickets were definitely sold. But
right. I mean, it is so sad what has happened to this program in 1 year that I'm not blaming it all on Stephen. I'm not blaming it on anybody, but this team is just, to me, it's impossible. I like Kevin Overton and Elijah Freeman and, Phillip. I mean, there's some kids on there to like, but I've never seen somebody so hard to pull for that was in an Auburn jersey as Keyshawn Hall. I'm sorry, but that's just the truth.
He's having a rough day today too.
Yeah, it's
well. To me, Auburn would have been better off to never let him on campus. That's just my opinion. There's some kids that just stay away from them. For goodness sakes, and I don't look for anything to get better next year. I really don't.
Well, I think it all depends, Ed. Yeah, it all depends on who comes back of those guys you just mentioned, plus a couple more, and then what they do in the portal. But, I mean, they absolutely don't need to have to try to completely start over like they did this year because they're just too many holes to fill.
All the three guys I mentioned, and there might be somebody that I missed. I like the way that, is it Adams Williams or
yes,
whatever
Williams
he
Adams. Mm-hmm.
has played this year. Yep. I mean, there's, but it's, to me, Pettiford's been a real disappointment all year.
He's played better.
What was
he's
he about? 17% from 3-point.
Well, he was at 27% in conference.
That's better than he was at one time. But hey,
I have more confidence in being able to put the right pieces around Pettiford than I do about putting the right pieces around Keyshawn Hall.
Oh yeah,
like, no, I think that's no the one. Thing
oh yeah,
where,
yeah. I don't
and
think
I,
you
I think
do
the
that.
Thinking was you know. And I guess the thinking was, look, if Keyshawn Hall can come in here and score 20 points a game, then we can probably make up for his lack of defense. But, you know, lately he hasn't been scoring like that. Today he's 2 of 11 from the floor, 5 points. Yeah. 4 rebounds, 3 fouls, 2 turnovers.
And he has so, had some, I mean, and he's had some
has,
huge
has
games.
He, ever
yeah.
looked,
he has.
To either of y'all, has he ever looked like he's, you know, enjoying himself or you know, is behind his teammates or anything? To me, it just looks like a spoiled kid out there just, you know, halfway pouting while he's playing. I've never seen him really get behind a teammate or do anything that would make anybody say, okay, that's my guy. I'll be honest with you, I just don't understand it. But anyway,
I'll tell you to that point, Ed, and we really appreciate the phone call. Great stuff. I would say I think there have been moments where it's kind of worrying that you worry about like a disconnect between Hall and the rest of the team or his coaches. There are also moments where he shows a ton of fire. I don't think you beat Florida.
Without the performance
you got from him. I mean, he's shown up in some big games. He had some shots down the stretch just yesterday. That helped you distance yourself from state, but I would agree. I think there have been times when, you know, I think just on a, not reading into the body language stuff, just from an offensive standpoint, there are times when the ball seems stuck in the half court from Hall, but you can also I think there are times when that can really provide some fire. And Auburn down 7.
So yeah, Tahad Pettiford hits a 3 to break a 20-0 run by Tennessee over nearly 7 minutes. So it's 61-54 with 3.5 minutes to play.
Yeah, I would think. I mean, who knows what Todd's going to end up doing? I would think the plan is for the other 4 underclassmen in the rotation to come back. That's
Amen.
That's
Nate. Amen has had a fabulous game. He has 26 points. By the way, after having Rick Barnes say they hope they got 10 minutes out of him. He has played 30 of the 36 minutes that have been played in this ballgame.
But I would think Jovich, Williams, Adams, Overton, and Freeman would be welcome to return if they expressed interest. And then you got to figure out
what you need to do
around them, what sort of pieces you need. But I would want a little more information before I close the door on Steven. But I understand a lot of frustration out there from fans on how the season has turned out.
Oh yeah, no question about it. They are letting Tennessee do everything but tackle on defense. I mean, it is amazing.
Murph hits a shot.
Yeah, 64-56, 2.5 to play in regulation. 334-321-1390. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Again, an Auburn loss, and I don't see Auburn being able to be in there. I just don't know how to get in.
I think you're holding your breath, and I think you're preparing for bad news on Selection Sunday if you lose today. That's sort of, you know, that was how I thought coming into the game. I know folks have said that the bubble has shaken up a little bit to where some of the teams that Auburn's competing with for spots have played their way out of the tournament. I would still think that you need...
I think Auburn needed another quad one win coming down. And Tennessee would be one, so...
And it looked like, I mean, with 10 minutes to go in the game, you had outplayed Tennessee in every spot you needed to.
Absolutely. You'd out-rebounded them. You had outshot them. I mean, really, Auburn played an excellent 30 minutes against Tennessee today. But the last 8 have been a nightmare for the Tigers.
And it's sort of like Auburn's season. Right, a little bit. I mean, as far as
Tennessee
the first...
Tennessee has scored 23 points in the last... In the last 8 minutes.
You think about November, December, January, and February. mm-hmm. of Auburn season. That last
closing things out, closing the season. It's like you're right. It's sort of like closing the regular season out, closing games out, and it's you know, sort of been the same today. A 9-point game under 2 minutes, as Auburn trying to fight back. Tahad Pettiford has had an outstanding game. 28 points on 9 of 15, 5 of 8 from three.
It was 51-41?
Yes, 51-41.
So that's a 20 to
24-5.
24-5
over the last 9 minutes.
24-5 run.
Yeah. And the other thing I mentioned that Keyshawn Hall did get a bucket, but Tahad is the only player for Auburn in double figures. He has 28 of Auburn's 58. Man. Kevin Overton has 9. Damn. He's only 1 for 4 from outside. Keyshawn Hall and Keyshawn Murphy have 8 apiece.
I'll tell you one, you know, two problems that popped up later in the season for the Auburn offense, which spent most of the season as one
statistically,
of
statistically, according to the metrics, Auburn had one of the better offenses, but they've been very inconsistent.
I think they sprung leaks down the stretch. Turnovers ratcheted up since the Oklahoma game. You started to see Auburn turn the ball over. I don't know exactly how many turnovers they've had today.
They have 11, Tennessee only 5. It was when Auburn has had 5 of their 11 turnovers in this stretch.
I mean,
because Auburn only had 6 turnovers with 10 minutes to play in the ball game.
Turnovers popped up, and that became a problem in some of the losses and games you had to have.
This is sort of like a microcosm of the season.
This is
what this game is.
I would say long scoring droughts.
Yes.
Two became
not quite as long as the one in this one, which was, you know, one that you had to absolutely had to have.
Although we mentioned that yesterday Auburn had a 10-minute stretch where they scored 6 points
right
against Mississippi State, and they still were able to overcome it and win the game. But you can't. I mean, you got to have a bread and butter offensive play that you feel like
when things aren't going well.
I think Auburn last year knew they could dump it down to Broome
yep.
whenever they needed to absolutely get a bucket or a trip to the free throw line. And I'm not sure, as great as Tahad is, I'm not sure Auburn had that. Okay, well, this is gonna be, you know, this is a reliable source of offense every time we need it.
Yeah.
And
it's
here's
what we're going to go. We're going to go to old reliable. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to run this play and we're going to score.
And it's tough for Tahad to be that too, especially in the last few minutes of a game, because when he's playing that much, it's like you're going to ask him to hit jump shots. Like, you know, after playing 35 minutes already, you're going to like that's plan A. Like it needs to be in the paint, right? You need to be able to you know, it's got to be Murph, or it's got to be your seniors. It's got to be Murph, or it's got to be Hall.
Well, what you
down
figured
low.
It was going to be was Keyshawn Hall, because remember for the first half of the season, Keyshawn Hall was either scoring or being fouled, it seemed like, on just about every shot that he took.
Love to be able to go inside out with Hall or Murph, and the defense collapses on him, and then you kick it out to Hod or to Overton or even to Sebastian, right? I mean, the outside of he's open. I mean, or Freeman, you know what I mean? Whatever you need to do, but – I think that lack of identity offensively. I mean, look, Tennessee also scored 20 something points, right? They got rolling too.
They did.
But
they scored 3 points a minute there.
I mean,
for 8 minutes.
Yeah, what a disastrous turn of events over the last 30 minutes and change or so of real time, and the last nine minutes or so of game time.
Yeah, it's right at 9 minutes. Right at 9 minutes, Auburn was up 51-41 with a little over 10.
Never been a 16 loss at large in the NCAA tournament before.
And Auburn would be 17-16.
Auburn would be 17-16. The metrics would still be in line with some of the other at larges, like we said. Mm-hmm. Like I mean, if you're just going to fixate on the overall win loss record, that doesn't tell the story of, look, Auburn could have scheduled easier. Like if Auburn were the same team in conference, but you turn three of the losses into wins. Well, if they were 20-12,
yeah,
7-11
a whole lot
SEC.
Different. You'd feel a whole lot different. I think a lot of people would.
But it's like, even if those were three home wins over nobody's compared to losses to Michigan and Houston and Arizona away from home.
You'd still have a win at Florida, and you'd have the big win over Arkansas.
So I do think that while...
What happened there? I turned my head away. Auburn had the ball down 6 with a minute 17 while we were talking. I turn around, and Tennessee looks like Amen's walking down to shoot free throws. So I didn't see what happened.
There's steal, maybe?
Let me go back to on court, and it says missed three by Tahad,
okay.
Personal foul on Keyshawn Hall. And Tennessee's now in the double bonus. Here's the other thing. Auburn had 4 fouls with 10 minutes to go in the first – 10 minutes to go, and now that is foul number 13. So they've been called for 9 fouls in the last 9 minutes as well. Mm. It's tough to win when whistles are being blown like that against you. I mean, I'm not saying that Auburn didn't deserve to get some fouls. Tennessee's missed a couple of free throws here down the stretch. Keyshawn Hall does get a bucket, and Auburn's down 5.
Okay.
Under 1 minute to play, 66-61. And it looks like Auburn's going to foul. Tennessee has struggled a little bit at the free throw line. They're 18 of 26 at the free throw line.
That's Overton's 5th. So
that's tough.
So Auburn's going to if Auburn's going to come back in the last 55 and a half and either win this game or force overtime.
Man, it's been another game where Auburn has struggled percentage-wise. They're 37% from the floor, 28% from three, even though Tahad is 5 of 9. The rest of the team is 2 of 16 from outside the arc.
What an offensive eruption for Tennessee in the last 10 minutes of the game, too. I mean, you're talking about
41 points.
I mean,
41 points with 10 minutes to go.
I mean, they're on a 120 point pace over the last 10 minutes of this game, and it's not a team necessarily known for explosive offense.
No, not in. You're right.
And yet, Auburn is looking like they're going to give up 30 points to them in the last 10 minutes of this game. So it is a disappointing, in the same way that like we were saying, the final month of the season was considerably more disappointing than the first three. It's pretty disappointing the final 10 minutes or so of a game that it felt like Auburn
was in control.
I think you needed to win it to feel secure on Selection Sunday. Mm-hmm. I think there's still a chance you sneak in. I don't know what the committee's going to do. It would set precedent.
Oh, absolutely.
And it would. They're showing the graphic right now of the 16.
How about? Of course, all 4 of the teams that got in with 15 losses have been SEC teams.
That's right, from the last decade.
Yeah,
17 on. And so, I mean, it's happened. Actually, it hasn't. 16 losses has never happened.
No.
Auburn, a unique case because of how difficult the schedule is. We'll see what the committee does with mm-hmm. Auburn's resume, especially if they go on to lose this game, and it looks like it is certainly trending away from the Auburn Tigers in Nashville.
Right. We have to get to our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back and continue to see how things go here. Auburn down 6 in the final 40 seconds of the ball game.
This is Lee County Revenue Commissioner Olene Price. When we have the opportunity...
Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill and Dan in the studio, and it has gone final, and now Auburn will have to wait very anxiously and hope that they get the invitation to the NCAA tournament as Tennessee outscores Auburn 31-11 over the final 10 minutes and 26 seconds of the game. Auburn led 51-41 with 10:26 to play. Tennessee went on a 20-0 run to turn that to a 10-point lead, and they end up winning it by 10, 72-62. So Auburn ends the its regular season, its first season under Stephen Pearl, 17-16 and hoping now for an opportunity to go to the Big Dance.
And I think there are you know, there are two sides to the coin about Auburn's tournament candidacy. They lost 16 games. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, in fact, all of the time.
Yeah. Never until now. Never has it happened that a 16-team loss has gotten an at-large.
Yeah, there's never been a situation in the history of the NCAA tournament where the committee has looked at a team with 16 losses and said, let's give them an at-large berth into the tournament. Now, how often does a team with 16 losses have
the schedule that Auburn has had?
I was going to say the number of quad one games, number of quad one wins, the significant quad one wins.
So Auburn will finish the season with 17 quad one games and out of its 33 played. So more than 50% of their games were quad one games.
And I do sincerely ask the question, like, if Auburn had scheduled fewer quad one games in the non-conference and had scheduled more quad three home wins, and they were the same team with 20 wins, would you be talking about, like, would you object to their candidacy?
And I don't think a lot of people would.
And if the answer to that, they'd be a more legitimate tournament team in that situation. I feel like that sends the wrong message.
Absolutely does.
About what teams should be doing in the non-conference, unless you want SEC teams to go softer on their scheduling in November and December and decide, okay, well, let's just stay home and stay local and rack up wins over overmatched opponents and go into SEC play with 10 or 11 wins already, right? Like, I mean, teams could do that, but I think that's the flip side of Auburn's candidacy, is that, like, it is a uniquely challenging schedule and maybe the kind of schedule where you justify putting a team with 16 losses into the NCAA tournament. It would need to be, I think they'd be in the play-in game. Like, I think there's no question now you're talking about if Auburn gets in, they're going to be one of the last four teams in.
Oh, and, yeah, and, no, and no in, doubt. And I don't think Dayton. There's any question. And something else that isn't at least anymore supposed to be considered, it used to be. Remember, a decade or so ago, you used to always hear about how teams have done in the last 10 or coming down the stretch. Auburn's lost 9 of their last 12. The perception there, I think that's one of the biggest things that Auburn has going against them. It's not just the overall record. It's that so many of these losses have come here down the stretch. Yeah, Auburn losing 9 out of its last 12 and losing 13 quad one games. But, again, they played 17 and they beat the Big East champ. They beat the SEC champ at their place. They blew out an Arkansas team that's definitely in.
State's in the tournament.
NC State, yes. I mean, they have some big wins.
I would say they almost beat Houston.
Yep.
I mean, if you're looking at that game too, if you're going deeper than just the numbers, right? I mean, that Houston game came down literally to the last possession, and that's a Houston team that's clearly among the nation's best. I would say it's tough to object too much to
right.
To Auburn missing the tournament, because of the flaws and because of the way Auburn's, you know, the perception that Auburn sort of cratered from when they were 14-7 and clearly in the tournament to where they are now, it's going to be tough to have too much of a problem with it. I would also understand why the committee would say, and I think it would be, you know, I don't know how it's going to play. My guess is it would be unpopular if Auburn were to get into the NCAA tournament. On a national scale,
it would be. It would be unpopular. Yeah. But if Auburn doesn't get in, then Auburn has a legitimate beef against the strength of schedule. It's like, well, then we don't need to do that. And I mean, we've heard that kind of talk, you know, in football as well. And now, I mean, Auburn's going to test, how important that strength of schedule is in basketball.
But I wouldn't grumble too much about Auburn being left out.
That's what you come back with. You go, well, we tried to do what you wanted, especially for a team that was in the Final Four a year ago.
Auburn's resume is deeper than just the non-conference games, right? There are some puzzling losses in conference play.
Especially
down the stretch.
Yep.
But no, I would agree that Auburn could say, like, one of the messages being sent if Auburn is left out is that maybe the games, maybe those really tough non-conference games don't help you as much as you thought they would from a computer number standpoint or from a committee standpoint. They don't help you as much as you thought they would if you lose too many of them.
What were and, the did Georgia end up being a quad two loss?
I don't have it right in front of me.
Because I know Ole Miss and Mississippi State would be quad two losses. Auburn had 13 quad one losses, so that means there are three others. And I know Ole Miss and Mississippi State are. Oklahoma?
What's your guess right now about what's going to happen on Sunday?
Close but no cigar.
One of the first teams out?
Yes. Yep.
I think you're right. I think you could see, and you know what else, which probably doesn't help Auburn, is that I think there could probably be two other SEC teams in the play-in games. Mm-hmm. Which could make it even tougher too, and maybe
that and the fact that you've got a MAC champion and Miami, they're 31-1,
and that could even be in the situation where you're talking about the last team in and the first team out
could be
being well, and we'll see what the committee does there, right? Because I think there'd be one sort of underdog Cinderella story that. The college football, college basketball world is ready to rally behind. And then there's also a 17-16 SEC team that went to the Final Four last year and had some impressive wins, but also struggled down the stretch and that Tennessee game. It's hard to believe that I'm with 10 minutes left and Auburn in command. We're like, I don't think this game's going to help you all that much. But right now, looking at what just happened,
hurts.
It's like...
It hurts. It hurts a lot. All right, let's get to our final break of hour number one. Again, we'd love for you to join in. Let's hear your thoughts now. All right, we're waiting now. Everyone will be waiting. You know that, it's definitely not a done deal. But what do you think? Do you think Auburn gets the call? Do you think they're on the outside? And then... Are you a proponent of going to the NIT if you don't get an NCAA tournament bid? We'll get to our final break here of hour number one. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390 as we continue with the Thursday Drive.
This is Coach Stephen Pearl, and you're listening to The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final few minutes of hour number one here of the Thursday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio.
Yeah. I mean, we're just looking at some of the numbers from the second half of the Auburn-Tennessee game that just finished up in the last couple of minutes, including – just processing the idea of a 20-0 run by the Orange that we saw happen
right as we came on.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it started.
It's our fault.
I mean, we'll take some of the blame, I guess. I guess there's, you know what, you can slice that pie up, and there's a lot of.
I don't think we deserve much of it. I mean, we came on just pumping things up. It's like, man, it was things where Auburn was playing. Auburn was playing as well defensively from the second half yesterday to the 10-minute mark of the ball game today as we had seen. Then it completely did a 180. Again, that 20-0 run. Auburn goes from leading 51-41 with 10:26 to go in the game, and it took until Tahad Pettiford, who was by far the best player on the court for Auburn today, hit a three to stop that 20-0 stretch by Tennessee.
We both like Nathan King. He does a good job, really good job over at 24/7. He's at the game right now, and he tweeted out at 3:59. He tweets out Auburn leads Tennessee by 10 with 12 minutes left. NCAA tournament potentially on the line. Buckle up. Right, so what ended up happening in the subsequent?
I don't know. The buckle was too tight. I don't know. No.
Bill, I think like a cliff. Right. I mean, it's like it was
buckle
like,
up as you're going off a cliff. Remember, that didn't do you any good.
Remember,
that's true.
Remember Toonces, the driving cat. Like, that was the last 10 minutes or so.
Oh man. All right,
Did we check with Pascal? Did we?
Well, he was on the air.
Okay.
You know, he's had his show. We'll check with him here during the break and see. But I think we're going to be able to get him on. So hopefully we'll have him on. We'd love to hear from you as we head into hour number two of the Thursday Drive.
Production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Thursday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio, and we'd love to hear from you, but we'll get to your calls here shortly. Let's, in case you're just joining us and watch the Auburn Tennessee game, tough loss for the Tigers. Was that their last chance to get in the NCAA tournament? The Joe Lunardi pregame had Auburn as the first team out, which meant they had to win that ball game to be in his bracket. And he'd been a little kinder to Auburn than some of the other bracketologists. So we will see if a 16 loss team can get an at-large bid to become the first ever to do that in NCAA tournament history. 72-62 is the final score, a game in which Auburn played very well for 30 minutes, leading with just over 10 minutes to play, 10:26 to play. Auburn, Tahad Pettiford hit a jumper to put the Tigers up 51-41. Tennessee then went on a 20-0 run over the next 6.5 minutes to take a 10-point lead at 61-51. And then the teams just pretty much traded buckets from that point on. Auburn was able to cut it to as few as five, but that was as close as they got for the remainder of the ball game. And they are now 17-16, headed back to Auburn, and will wait to see if their strength of schedule is enough to get them in. I personally don't think it will be, but I'm not on the committee.
Haven't seen any post-game remarks from Steven. I'll be interested to see what he has to say. I have seen a tweet from Bruce Pearl that expresses unhappiness with the way the game was officiated today.
Did I say when we came on the air it appeared that the way the game was being called had changed? That was before Tennessee was on that big run. It just sort of felt all of a sudden it's become more physical and the whistles aren't blowing as frequently.
A 20-0 run by Tennessee in the second half of a game that Auburn was leading by 10, and it flips the game and maybe flips Auburn's chances of making the NCAA tournament. We'll see what happens on Sunday, but Auburn, I think we said going into the SEC tournament, two wins, a win over Mississippi State and a win over Tennessee, and I think you'll go into Sunday in good position as far as being selected as an at-large, even though you'll be the first 16 loss at-large ever in the tournament. A win over State and a loss to Tennessee, and you're going to be holding your breath. I certainly don't think you're going to go into Sunday feeling secure about your spot, and I wouldn't be all that shocked if Auburn was left out of the field on Sunday.
Now, let's head to the phones and welcome in our regular Thursday guest at this time. He's just wrapped up his show on WGOW in Chattanooga, and of course, longtime writer for the Chattanooga Times Free Press. That's our good friend David Pascal joining us here on the Thursday Drive. Hey, David, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Hope you guys are doing well.
We're doing fine. Just talking about after having watched a game that's sort of a microcosm of Auburn's basketball season this year. A good start, unable to close, and they go from a 10-point advantage with just over 10 minutes to go in the game to losing it by 10. And now I think probably out of the NCAA tournament.
You know, when I heard y'all talking before you brought me on, it's an interesting dynamic, especially when ESPN or the SEC Network trots Lenardi out there, because if you listen to him, it sounds like it's almost done. If you go back to last night, you know, everything fell in place for Auburn, mm-hmm. especially with Indiana losing to Northwestern. And, of course, Lenardi wrote that Indiana's now out and they have no chance of getting back in, which makes sense because they kind of had Auburn's finish but then had a nightmare in their conference tournament, whereas Auburn got the win. And then Lenardi mentioned that Auburn may even stay in with a loss to Tennessee, but it seems like Miami of Ohio's right. loss changed everything there. Mm-hmm. And so now it looks like the MAC, you know, you have all these national pundits saying that the MAC will get two league teams in, and of course that's the great debate because Auburn did play a great schedule and has a KenPom in the around 37 or 38, where Miami of Ohio's is 93. But you know, a 31-0 team losing for the first time, you know, a lot of people will root for that team and feel like that team should get in, and it's an injustice if they don't. So you definitely see both sides to it. But I'm with y'all. I would say Auburn's got a. I don't know if Auburn's got a 1-3 chance, maybe 1-3.
Where are you on that Miami of Ohio question as far as, you know, a team from a one-bid league, a mid-major, even a low major, like if they go into their conference tournament undefeated and lose?
Honestly, I don't understand it enough because, you know, you've read the reports that, like, they uncovered the emails and Miami of Ohio tried to play some bigger teams and nobody would play them. And if that's the case, you feel for them, but you're also just kind of like, you know, is there a try harder element to it? I mean, because here in Chattanooga, I mean, the Mox played Auburn, the Mox played at UNLV, the Mox played at St. Mary's. I mean, those are three better teams than anybody that Miami of Ohio played here at UTC. So, I mean, there's kind of a if you're trying, try harder because a lot of teams play big boys. Why did you play the non-conference schedule that you did? Because it's awful looking.
I think Auburn would have taken on Miami of Ohio.
Yeah, and you know, and that's it's an interesting dynamic. I mean, we saw Auburn way back in their very first game nearly lose to Bethune-Cookman. So, I mean, would Auburn have gone 31-0 up until today with Miami of Ohio's schedule? I don't know, because sometimes Auburn had off days.
Oh, you're right.
Where maybe they would have been 30-1 or 29-2. But, you know, the flip side is, would Miami of Ohio have a winning season with Auburn's schedule? And the answer is heck no.
Yeah, we'll see how the committee views an Auburn team that, you know, I think, you know, one of the – Well, you could draw a lot of conclusions from Auburn being selected or not selected into the tournament, David. You know, I do think that if you're Auburn and you're not selected with this win-loss record, I do wonder if you feel the need to schedule as many difficult non-conference games next year as you did this year. Because if everything were the same about this Auburn team, and again, I'm not trying to campaign for Auburn to be in the NCAA tournament because I totally understand if they're left out. But if everything were the same about this Auburn team, but you turned those losses against Houston and Michigan and Arizona and Purdue away from home, if you turned those into quad three home wins, and you were talking about a 20-win Auburn team that had gone 7-11 in SEC play, I think they're in. Like I think that team's safely in the NCAA tournament, but instead, because they lost these games, it could be one of the main reasons why they're not in. And I do wonder if the lesson from that is, how much do those, especially away from home, if you're in the SEC and you're going to play this many quad one games anyway, how much do difficult non-conference games help your tournament resume?
Right. It's be careful if you don't know your roster, if you don't know what you have and you don't feel like you are going to be able to win a couple of those games, it's probably not to your advantage to be scheduling as many as Auburn had.
You know, there was a year when I covered Georgia, when I first started covering Georgia back in 2000 and 2001 under Jim Herrick, they had a team that went 16-15 and went 9-7 in the league. Of course, Auburn went 7-11, But this Georgia team went 9-7. They were 16-14 overall. They had a loss to a decent Georgia State team, but you know, they lost to like Wake and Cal. And but that team not only got in the NCAA tournament at 16-14, they played in an 8-9 game. So I don't know what the difference is. You know, I don't delve enough into the metrics. I look at them and stuff, but I don't know what the difference in this Auburn team and that Georgia team from a quarter century ago. Because, like I said, 16-14, and they played in an 8-9 game and lost to Missouri. But, you know, and it's interesting because people are talking about how weak this bubble is, and you did have a deal where, you know, on the last weekend of the year, it seemed like everybody that had a chance to advance didn't, and then yesterday, everybody that had a chance didn't except for Auburn. But it is interesting that you'll have a team that potentially gets left out that has a 9-point road win on at a one seed and beat the Big East champ by double digits. I mean, it's just, it is incredible, the 4 or 5 notches on Auburn's belt that are just through the roof impressive. It's just the February, as everybody knows, was an absolute disaster. You cannot lose at Mississippi State and at Oklahoma. And then, to me, I don't even think we're having this conversation if they take care of Ole Miss. Of course, Ole Miss looked good against Texas last night.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, David. I mean, you know, the more I think about it, the season was just like today. I mean, Auburn was playing pretty darn well nearly halfway through the conference and almost 2/3 of the way through the season. And today, you know, for three quarters, for the first 30 minutes of the game, Auburn really, really played well. That's as well as they played defensively. You know, Tennessee had 41 points with 10 and a half minutes to go in the game. They scored 31 points in those last 10 and a half minutes. And that's sort of, I mean, Auburn's inability to close out games, to close out the season, is exactly what happened today.
I mean, Auburn's 14-7 and
5-3 in the league.
And 5-3 in the league after they beat Texas at the last game of last game of January.
Yeah, and the thought was, all right, they're going to have that tough stretch, but then things get easier down the stretch. And, you know, they still weren't able to, you know, once that slide started, to really stop it soon enough.
And, you know, I don't know how many people will talk about it, if it comes up this weekend or not, but you do have the home loss to Alabama when Alabama used a player for 5 games. Mm-hmm. I mean, that becomes an interesting, I don't know if that plays into it or not, but think if they beat Alabama, we're not having this conversation, you know, if they beat Alabama and Auburn.
Yeah, because Charles Bediako was definitely a factor in that ball game. There's no question.
Yeah, it's, you know, this has been one of the all-timers as far as discussion points. I mean, you know, you can even, if you want to be really critical of this team, I mean, because correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, there have been off-the-court incidents with the two Keyshawns and Tahad Pettiford, right, in terms of whether it's late to a meeting, late to practice. I mean, Stephen Pearl's called them out on that. You know, and I will say the LSU game, they really, on senior night, they really seem to enjoy playing with each other, because there have been times this year where they didn't look like they enjoyed playing with each other.
Yeah, it's been quite the challenge. I don't think there's any question. And you know, that's the thing right now. A lot of people just don't know what to make, wondering, well, you know, it's just the first year for Stephen Pearl, and he had nearly a completely brand new roster. This is going to be a very, very important offseason leading up to next year, which will be a tremendously important year for Stephen Pearl. But now it's, can you retain some of the young players that that showed promise? Because, you know, you look at the top teams in the country, and most of them have a few guys that have been playing together and understand the system and already have a chemistry, and you build around that. I don't think you can afford to go out and have to bring in 9 or 10 players the way Auburn did this past year if they only bring back, say, 1 or 2 of the possible returnees.
I agree. I mean, this is going to be a huge next month for Auburn. I would lean toward it being very busy as far as departures. You know, and you just look at this roster, and it was metric-wise, offensively, it was just light years ahead of where it was defensively, and that was the biggest. That was, you know, when you break this Auburn team down from top to bottom, that's probably your biggest difference. I mean, you were pointing it out, Bill. I thought, if you go back to yesterday, I mean, that the 40 minutes of yesterday, really starting with Mississippi State's very first possession through the first 30 minutes of today, that's as good a defense as Auburn has played especially over an extended period, and 70 minutes certainly qualifies as an extended period. But I think that will be the biggest story of this Auburn season, is the fact that they were a good offensive team, but their defensive metrics went from top 10 to just way down there.
And some of that, I know folks have been pointing to, like, last year's team went to the Final Four, and this year's team is on the bubble. Like, what a disaster.
Ooh, look at where the guys from last year are now.
Yeah, that's, I remember, David.
What they're doing.
It's hard to believe it was 20 years ago. I remember when Florida missed the tournament the year after winning back-to-back championships. And it wasn't as though Billy Donovan forgot how to coach. It wasn't like, oh, well, you know, this program was a flash in the pan. It's that when seven of your eight best players are seniors, it's going to be really difficult to sustain. You better win, because it's going to be difficult to sustain that a year later. If you can, it's I think a sign of strength, and we'll see what Auburn does with a full off season here. But I mean, I think it would have been remarkable to be anywhere near last year's team, considering the roster turnover you've had from the end of last season to now.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I mean, certainly nobody was considering Auburn a Final Four type of team. You know, they were a preseason top 25 team. But even when Auburn was doing good things in the non-conference, you know, and credit to him, because he's made a little bit of a splash in the NBA. But even last year, when you'd get around Janiah Broome, you still had Dylan Cardwell to deal with. And, I mean, Cardwell was just such a force inside that Murphy didn't always, you know, and they're different. They're built differently, and they're different kinds of players. But, you know, that was one thing that even back in the non-conference that everybody was just like, as good as Broome was, you know, Cardwell's presence mm-hmm. was going to be missed a ton too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Auburn had – they had as good a rim protection as anybody was going to find, and that ended up being a problem for them as well. I mean, I know they ranked right at the bottom of the SEC in three-point – defense, they were the really struggled there, but they struggled inside as well. I wanted to get your thoughts, David, on the rest of the league. I mean, you've got two or three other teams that are also trying to make sure that they get in. I mean, Texas, there's some questions about Texas now after that loss to Ole Miss last night. Oklahoma has really played much better here down the stretch and making a run to try to get in. I mean, we still could have, you know, an SEC team or two. They're playing on playing in Dayton in those they don't want to call them, but play-in games.
Yeah, they are exactly that. They are play-in games. Yeah, I think Auburn fans obviously need to root for Texas A&M late tonight. I think Auburn, even though Oklahoma won that head-to-head game, I think Auburn's non-conference dwarfs what Oklahoma did, and Auburn does need to kind of hope it comes down to the football deal, where you know, that selection committee, the playoff committee, never talked about Notre Dame and Miami together until the very end. Mm-hmm. And when they were side by side, they flipped them, you know, and Miami gets in and Notre Dame doesn't. Mm-hmm. Auburn's got to hope somehow that Auburn and Texas get right next to each other, and Auburn's head-to-head may prove to be the difference there. Like I said, I'm not shutting the door completely on Auburn, but I think it's like a 1-in-3 chance they get in.
David, you wonder how big Missouri's win over Auburn is right now, because if Auburn had gone to Columbia, Missouri, and won that game earlier in the season, what it would do to Missouri's candidacy, as well as providing Auburn with an extra win in the win-loss column.
I mean, you can pick any game, and it's wild.
Yeah, that's
right. We've already picked several. Yeah. All you got to do is pick one result that's different. I mean, the way the Texas A&M game ended. We've already talked about Betty Ocko, the Ole Miss game, any of those games, and I think an 18-15 Auburn is in there.
Yeah, I agree. Well, that's one of the great things about this time of year. Now we'll just have to sit and wait until Sunday. We've got college baseball going, and spring football practice is cranking up all across the country, especially here in the SEC. It's a fun time of year, David.
It is a fun time of year. Then you throw in something like the TPC with the Masters around the corner, and you know, the Braves will be starting up before you know it. Of course, they play second field to the Dan and I's Dodgers, but you got MLB starting up too, so it is. It's a great time of year.
David, always great to have you on. We really appreciate it when we get the opportunity to spend a little bit of time with you. Let everybody know how they can keep up with everything you're doing.
Absolutely. TimesFreePress.com for the articles and WGOW for Sport Talk.
All right, David, thanks again, man. Have a great weekend.
You guys do the same. Take care.
David Pascal joining us here on the Thursday Drive. We'll get to our first break of hour number two. Open up the phone lines. Love to get your reactions after Auburn's 72-62 loss today to the Tennessee Vols as we continue with the Thursday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Today, Midas Fixes
More.com.
Welcome back into the Thursday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. We'd love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, I would imagine some more reaction from Auburn's loss today to Tennessee after leading it. That's one of the things. Today's game gives you that same kind of feeling. I was thinking about it while we were talking with David. I think folks would feel a lot differently, or there'd be at least a little different feeling about a 17-16 Auburn team if they hadn't felt like they were so close to being, you know, just about a lock for the NCAA tournament at the end of January. The end of January, yeah. Said, you know, you're 14-7, you're 5-3 in SEC play, and feeling like, well, you know, even if this team just sort of hits a few bumps, you're probably going to, you know, go no worse than 500 for the rest of the year. But then things fell apart and you lose 9 out of 12. And that's the way it was today. You're feeling with 10, you know, just over 10 minutes to go in the ballgame. Well, you know, even if Tennessee makes a run, you've got a great shot of winning this ballgame when, you know, by the time you got to the last 3 minutes, You're fighting from a double-digit deficit.
Yeah, you didn't have that kind of run you anticipated when you thought, Tennessee might make a run
not,
down
not
10.
Not a 20-0 run.
20-0.
You thought, they may reel off 8 or 10 or something like that.
And as we said, Tennessee scores nearly. Did they get to
31? 31 yeah. points in the last 10.5 minutes.
Yeah, 31 points in the last 10 minutes of a game, and that's a Tennessee team that, you know, known for their physicality, but not necessarily known for explosive offense of late. So it's I would not treat it, you know, I would not treat it like a given that Auburn's going to make it under any stretch of the imagination. Like, I would say, like, folks are like, oh, it's going to be a stressful next couple of days for Auburn. You know, I would maybe it's a little defeatist. I would probably assume you're out.
Yes,
right
I would now.
Stay really ready. Would. You know, be ready if your name is called on
be
Sunday.
Be hopeful. But be preparing.
Yeah.
For the worst.
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's like being, you know, it's like if you're nominated, but Meryl Streep's nominated too, right, Bill? You know, Oscar night Sunday.
That's right.
Like
you're in big trouble.
Maybe you're gonna win, but you know, there's somebody else there, you know, looking for your spot. So, yeah, I would love to, you know, I don't know, it would be, it. I would love for this team to avoid the questions about that missing the NCAA tournament completely would. Would prompt. But I also, I mean, at this point, if Auburn's selected, honestly, it feels like it'll be one of the stories of Selection Sunday.
Yeah.
If Auburn gets it.
I think there'll be a lot of negative reactions.
And I don't know how popular it'll be.
And, you know, what has the SEC got over
now if it's
collegiate athletics?
Although David made a great point. I mean, I think you're looking at, you know, it sounds to me like you're looking at Auburn and A&M and Texas and not Oklahoma quite yet, but Missouri and Auburn and Texas A&M, and probably you're taking three of them, right?
Yeah, it's Oklahoma and Auburn both finished 7-11 in the conference.
Yeah,
And
Texas got in at like 6-12 last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yes,
great, it was last year, but you know they got in. So
we will. We'll see. And again, we'd love your thoughts. Where do you think Auburn stands? How do you feel about a possible NIT?
Where are you on the NIT?
I'm not crazy about it.
If Auburn had caller, you know, if Auburn had everybody on board, That'd be one thing.
Yeah, if you knew, I mean, if you really knew, you know, what how you're.
Yeah. If everybody was on board, that'd be one thing. I don't think this team with seven players, I don't think they're in a position to go into an NIT shorthanded.
No, if any of the seven.
Yeah, and I think so. You'd need some consensus among your rotation pieces mm-hmm. that they want to keep playing. If they don't make the NCAA tournament, and then the coaches would have to think it's a good idea too. I think that for Steven, getting some experience in postseason basketball, and for a team that could bring back a lot of its rotation, I think that there's upside. There are benefits to playing in the NIT. I could also see some of these guys wanting to focus on next season.
Yeah.
You know, that's not just the seniors. That's anyone who's thinking about maybe going in the portal. Like, why risk an injury in an NIT game if you know you're going to play somewhere else next year? The landscape has changed a little bit with regards to how players perceive anything outside of the NCAA tournament mm-hmm. and how they want to get ready for next year. So, you know, I think if everyone was on board, I would say go for it. But I would say don't bring half the team to the NIT because I could see limited benefit to trying to do that if you don't make it to the NCAAs, which is still, I think, the primary question until the bracket is revealed on Sunday.
334-321-1390.
Speaking of the NIT, it is cool that South Alabama has been selected. I don't know if you remember the story last year, but South Alabama was the team that accepted the NIT bid, and then the NIT revoked it and gave it to someone else that had been invited initially but had been dragging their feet mm-hmm. about whether to play in the NIT or to not participate or to play in a different tournament.
Well, and there's not a different tournament now. The CBI is toast.
CBI has shut down for this year. There, mm-hmm. there will not be a CBI. But the NIT extended an invitation to South Alabama, I think, during the Sun Belt tournament after South Alabama was eliminated, to make sure that the team that was sort of unfairly shoved right. out of the field last year gets the first bid available to the NIT cool. this year.
All right, let's get to our bottom of the hour break. We've got a half an hour to go, and would love to hear your thoughts after Auburn's loss today. You want to talk a little baseball if you'd like. We can talk some spring football. Tuesday is the first day of spring football practice. So we're wide open in the final half hour of the Thursday Drive. Welcome back into the Drive. Final 20 minutes or so here on this Thursday. Bill and Dan in the studio. And again, there are a lot of things we can talk about. I mean, the NCAA tournament and teams that have struggled that are either on or trying to get in or out of the bubble has been crazy here the last couple of days. And Auburn's a big part of it, and they're losing today. You know, makes it appear that they may be on the outside looking in.
Reacting to some of Stephen Pearl's post-game quotes.
Yeah, which we obviously weren't able to hear, but because they were either there.
And I think
they were there in Nashville, either in the media room or on Wings 94.3, which had the broadcast.
And when did the game go final? You know,
the game went final 4:40, 4:40, you know.
I think Steven, just in the last 10 minutes or so, got up in front of the local Auburn beat writers up there in Nashville.
That makes sense. It takes a while because you have to be brought in to the SEC media room. Then either he or somebody's going to do the radio, and then there are a lot of interviews before the local guys usually get them.
So piecing together quotes from Jerry and Nathan and Adam Cole and Justin Ferguson. Steven was asked about Auburn playing in the NIT or the Crown if they were not selected for the NCAA tournament. And he said that there had not been internal conversations about playing in the NIT, and then went on what he himself called a rant about the reasons why he believes Auburn should be in the NCAA tournament, citing the fact that Auburn has more top 50 net wins than anyone else on the bubble, more wins against the NCAA tournament field than anyone else in the bubble, and he concludes that with, quote, this team deserves to be in the NCAA tournament. They did everything they needed to do to hear their names called on Selection Sunday, unquote. And I wonder that last line
is one that is doesn't feel right. Look, Auburn, yeah, Auburn, there's no questioning, those are facts, that Auburn has more top 50 wins and the strength of schedule. I mean, it's everything than the other teams that are there on the bubble. Yes, indeed. Did this team do everything that read that to me again. They did everything that...
This team deserves to be in the NCAA tournament. They did everything they needed to do to hear their names called on Selection Sunday.
No, they did not do everything they needed to do. No, if they beaten Ole Miss... losing to Ole Miss at home, just that one game. David Paschal said this earlier this hour. There's so many games you look at and go, if this one game. Mm-hmm. I mean, an 18-win Auburn team with the loss at Tennessee today. If Auburn were 18-15 and 8-10 in the league, I think they're in. So they did. So the NCAA can say, you didn't do everything. You didn't take care of that game at home, the loss at Mississippi State. Those two games, if you win one of those two games, I think you are in.
And I do believe one of the messages that Auburn, you know, that the NCAA tournament committee could send by including Auburn would be, even if you're in the SEC or the Big Ten or the ACC, there is value in scheduling several quad one non-conference games mm-hmm. away from home. Even if you lose them, the committee will look fondly on the fact that you scheduled them rather than stacking up easy wins out of conference. That's not the only message that I think the committee would send by including Auburn, and I think a lot of folks would sort of point to is a brand name being included over lesser-known upstart programs that maybe won more games this year? Is Auburn being rewarded for Bruce Pearl's connections
for
to
being
the
Final Four team
for
last
being
year?
For being in the Final Four last year, for being in the SEC, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So, no, I think, that last part, you know, we've worked in radio a while, Bill. Like, you know, sometimes songs just doesn't hit the ear right.
Right.
Like, that last sentence does not hit the ear.
It doesn't sit right.
Doesn't hit the ear correctly, you know, as far as Auburn doing everything they can, because it did feel like that stretch in January or that stretch in February where you win, just the one game?
1-7.
Several of those losses were opportunities to shore up your your tournament status and Auburn came up short time and again.
Well, I mean, today. You had two non-quad one losses. Mm-hmm. In the month of February, and that's not doing everything that you needed to do.
And I think the other thing that was sort of like, especially if this is it, and Auburn isn't selected on Sunday, like I think you can look at those games against Oklahoma and Mississippi State and Ole Miss, all losses to teams that were pretty far from the bubble. Now Oklahoma's played their way back in, but like at the time, like none of those teams were serious tournament contenders, and yet they seemed like the more urgent, hungry team in those games, right? The thought that Auburn was getting outworked against, you know, when Auburn had a genuine shot to get off the bubble and get into the tournament, and these other teams are just playing for pride. You know, they're playing to put quality film on tape for whatever's next, right? And it's like, and you're, you know, like you think about how the Oklahoma game started, right? With the 3-point shooting, how Josh Hubbard and how that Mississippi State game went down. It's like you can question some exterior things if Auburn isn't selected for the NCAA tournament.
Right.
But a lot of it feels self-inflicted.
Yeah, a lot of it. Yeah, look in the mirror and you know, see what you weren't able to get done. So disappointing finish today, disappointing, you know, finish to the season, and now we'll see. Go ahead.
Well, and I would say, like, I'm not out on Stephen Pearl.
No.
I want more data. I want to see what happens this offseason. I think there's going to be an appropriate...
The grade is an incomplete. right now.
And I think there's going to be an appropriate amount of pressure on Stephen to get this fixed next year and to keep Auburn from drifting too far away from the glory days of the Bruce Pearl era. But I don't want – I mean, look, a smart coach a long time ago told me a lot of the work is done in college basketball before your first practice.
Oh, wow.
A lot of the work is done because we're talking about who you brought in.
Right.
Like who you decided to sign, who you didn't sign, right? And for Auburn, look, if you believe this team would have been – if you believe this group would have been drastically different with Bruce – I mean, you can have that opinion. We'll never know, right? Like it feels like an easy sort of thing to say, like, oh, this is a 25 win team with Bruce Pearl.
Well, I don't know about 25. I think the team might have won around. They might have won 19 or 20.
I don't know. You know what I mean? Like that's one where it's like I don't know exactly how much of it's on.
That's not a huge indictment against a first year coach to say a Hall of Fame coach might have won two or three games more.
But I think that like now. Now Stephen can't point to the fact that you can't use the excuse next year for whatever value you gave, whatever weight you gave to the excuse that Stephen was merely an assistant and not the head coach when this roster was actually assembled and recruited.
Right.
Right. Bruce was the head coach making the decisions about who to bring in. Can't use that next year.
Nope.
Like, I mean, that's...
It's going to be his guys next year.
100%.
It's going to be his guys because there will be a significant number of players that need to be brought in to run what Stephen wants run.
And if it goes in the right direction next year, I think that really says something about Stephen and his staff and the guys that he will have on next year's team. And if it doesn't...
It will also say something very strong about that. So I'm very intrigued as to, you know, now that we're waiting for postseason, if there is a postseason, how soon does Auburn name that general manager we've been hearing about for about a month?
I mean, you would think you'd want that in place.
Yeah, I would sure think so. As
well before the opening of the portal.
Yes, because players. As we've seen in college football, there are players who will be announcing that they're going to enter the portal, even though the portal doesn't open until April 7th. 334-321-1390, that is the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. We've got about 10 minutes or so left. Let's head to the phones. Who have we got, Dan?
Brett is hanging on, one of our pals. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. I missed the first of the show. Did Stephen Pearl say anything in the press conference after the game that was eventful?
I've been commenting on the last thing that Dan read. I mean, Stephen said that he felt this team. Pointed out that they've had more top 50 wins than anybody on the bubble. They have the toughest strength of schedule. But read that last line, Dan.
Yeah, Brett. I don't want to tell the whole story over again. But Pearl was asked about whether or not he'd considered. He was asked about whether or not he wanted to go. He was asked about the NIT, and he said he sort of used that to campaign for his team to make the NCAA tournament and laid out reasons why he thought his team belonged in, and ended that with, quote, "This team deserves to be in the NCAA tournament. They did everything they needed to do to hear their names called on Selection Sunday," unquote.
I'm sorry they
well,
did
hey,
not.
Dan, I was really asking, did he say anything about the officiating and that run that Tennessee made when Auburn was up?
So he did, in fact, didn't want to. I think he's you know, using diplomacy here. He did say 8.5 minutes. I'm using Nathan King's tweet from the press conference here, quoting Stephen. 8.5 minutes without a foul against a team as physical as Tennessee is ... something.
Auburn was in the double bonus with 13 minutes to go in the ball game, and then Tennessee went most of that 20-0 run without one foul being called in some of the most physical basketball that I've ever seen.
There was a tweet from Bruce after.
Dan and Bill, the so-called block on the alley-oop.
Yeah,
that was freaking shoulder, the hip, and everything in between.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my God, if something like that isn't called, there's no way a team could score on a layup because our guy would be able to take them out every play.
Yeah, well, it made it, I mean, Auburn's numbers around the rim, I'm sure, were bad, but it's part of it is when there's nothing that is being called, it's very difficult to score.
And I think, look, and Auburn and Auburn's defense deserves some criticism for their part of that 20-0 run and the fact that Tennessee scored 31 points over the last 10 minutes of the game. But, no, I would agree that, like, some of Auburn going scoreless in that stretch, that 6 minutes without a point.
Yeah, like, 6.5.
So, yes, yeah, so, some of that is, you know, Auburn probably has some pretty legitimate gripes about physical play around the basket that wasn't called on Tennessee. And I know that, you know, folks remarked that the tech on Steven was slowly slowly coming to a boil. Like, he was getting angrier.
I worried about Steven, and
he was getting angrier and angrier as the second half went on.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, I'll have to give him credit. On that so-called block on the alley-oop, I don't know how he didn't go out there and hit somebody. That was just totally ridiculous. I mean, for that announcer to sit there and say, oh, yeah, Okpara had a very good block there, totally ridiculous.
They struggled today.
I don't even know what they're watching. Right.
They struggled today. I like Ravitch, an excellent baseball announcer. Right, but they had a rough day.
I like Jimmy as well, but I felt the other side coming through a little bit today.
Ravitch was awful. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Anyway, all right. Well, y'all have a great evening.
All right, Brett, appreciate the call.
Hey, Brett, what do you think? What do you think's happening Sunday?
Auburn not getting into the tournament, the NCAA tournament.
Yep, I'm with you, sadly.
And to be quite honest, they should.
I mean, they had a golden opportunity today, had a lot of golden opportunities this season, and mm-hmm. it might fall just short of that. I know Lunardi right now projecting, we appreciate the phone call, Brett. Right now Lunardi's got Missouri and Texas as two of the last four in.
Mm-hmm.
So not only does Auburn have to worry about somehow playing their way in, right? That's also with the possibility of I think Miami's one of his last four outside.
Yeah,
Missouri
and Texas, they're done. They can't lose. It's not like, Auburn needs them to lose. They already lost.
Mm.
Yeah. All right, we'll get to our final break.
It's hard to imagine three SEC teams in the play-in game.
Yeah,
round,
no kidding.
Two.
Yeah, because that means two would be playing each other. We'll get to our final break of the show. Stick with us here on the Thursday Drive.
March Madness is here, and while everyone else is...
Final segment of the Thursday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Dan's got he's got some business this weekend.
Headed west.
Little brother getting hitched.
Little brother getting married. Very excited about a wedding out in the Texas New Mexico Badlands. And
so is that where is he?
He's out on the in the Air Force Base near there. The one in New Mexico. So it's and he is we're excited to go check out that part of the country and see a place that he's been for a couple of years, and I know Coach Dunn was in Lubbock for a little while. He knows the area pretty well. So yeah, I'm looking forward to exploring Texas a little bit this weekend.
Good luck with your travels.
Should be back Sunday night.
You're telling me your parents have had a bit of a situation. I mean,
I think the good
some
news
good
is
friends of ours had some last week. Travel is not as easy as it has been.
Yeah, I'm bouncing between a couple of major airports, right? So I'm feeling pretty good about my chances. But
got a nonstop to Dallas,
and I've got some time. I think if the flight tomorrow gets bumped, I've got a little bit of time to play with. So.
Like a rehearsal dinner or something tomorrow.
Yeah, I think
night.
We got a dinner tomorrow night. So I mean, I got a little bit of driving once I get to Dallas, but for the most part, I'll be fine. But yeah, hopefully everything goes off without a hitch as I hit the road early tomorrow morning.
Well, good luck on your travels, Coach Dunn. Don will be in tomorrow, so we'll see if we might be able to catch up with Ferg or,
yeah.
or Adam tomorrow as well.
Shoot some of our guys a text reacting to today's game, and I'm sure a little baseball talk about as well.
Absolutely. Auburn SEC play opening. The Tigers are at Columbia, Missouri to take on those Tigers who are 15-2. So yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll get ready for spring training. Spring football practice gets started on Tuesday. We've got a viewing window 8:50 on Tuesday morning. We're out of time here now on the Thursday drive. Appreciate folks hanging with us, being here. We're back tomorrow. Again, Coach Don Dunn will be in along with me. So hope you'll join us then.
St. Patrick's Day, right? Tuesday?
Oh, that is
your
right.
Window, yeah.
Sure is. All right, that's going to do it for the Thursday drive. Back with you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.